Radio Prague News.
The anti-corruption police have proposed that five people be charged in connection with Prague's open card system. A personal lawsuit against former Trade and Industry Minister Martin Kocourek has been dropped. And Czech competitors have won bronze in the men's kayak 4,000 meters at the Olympic Games. The anti-corruption police have proposed that five people should be charged in connection with Prague's open card system who are suspected of having violated the law on several counts, including that they signed disadvantageous contracts that resulted in damages of around 70 million crowns. Police spokeswoman Pavla Kopecka issued the statement on the unit's website on Thursday. If the case against the five went to trial and the suspects were found guilty, they could face up to 8 years in prison. In related news, the head of the country's anti-corruption police, Tomáš Martinec, revealed not long ago in an interview for financial daily Hospodářské noviny that important documents related to the case had been shredded at City Hall during the tenure of controversial former mayor Pavel Bem. The ex-wife of former Trade and Industry Minister Martin Kocourek has withdrawn a lawsuit against her ex-husband, in which he had been seeking 8 million crowns he allegedly concealed during their divorce. The amount was half of the funds Mr. Kocourek hushed up so they would not fall within their divorce settlement. Olga Kocourková's lawyer said her client had decided to settle personal matters outside of the courtroom. The development will likely impact an additional charge against Mr. Kocourek and his mother in May of damaging a creditor carrying a possible sentence of up to 8 years. The Daily Pravo reported recently that the police had recommended the case be dropped. The police have revealed that they caught 300 more motorists driving under the influence of drugs in the first quarter than during the same period last year. In 2012, they caught 2,500 people who had gotten high behind the wheel. The head of the traffic police, Leos Tržil, said on Thursday that the issue mostly concerned motorists between the ages of 18 and 40. The dean of the First Faculty of Medicine at Charles University, Tomáš Zima, has suggested the real numbers were probably high even before, but that the police had now heavily intensified their focus on drug users. Most of those on drugs behind the wheels were either using marijuana or pervitin. The Social Democrats have squarely rejected criticism comparing the language on one of its election billboards to anti-Semitic and anti-clerical rhetoric used during the Third Reich in Nazi Germany and later by the Czech communists. In a joint statement, the head of the Czech Bishops' Conference, Cardinal Dominik Duka, the chairman of the Federation of Jewish Communities, Jiří Daníček, and the chairman of the Ecumenical Council of Churches, Joel Rummel, suggested that those who remembered the previous periods would not be fooled by the Social Democrats' use of words. The billboard in question opposes church property restitution, which is supported by the right-wing parties in government, the Civic Democrats and Topo 9. Social Democrat Deputy Chairman Lubomír Zaorálek said the statement by Cardinal Duka and colleagues was unacceptable, and he slammed the cardinal, saying he needed to read up on his World War II history. According to Mr. Zaorálek, while a number of Social Democrats laid down their lives in the fight against Nazism, the church's role during the same period was ambiguous. And we turn quickly to sport now. Czech competitors Havel, Trefil, Dostal and Škerba finished third in the men's kayak 4,000 meters at the Olympic Games. The bronze brings the overall medal tally for the Czech Republic to 7. The competition was won by Australia. Hungary's team came in second. A quick look at the weather now. Cloudy conditions with sunny periods are expected on Friday. Daytime temperatures should reach highs of around 21 degrees Celsius. I'm Jan Vellinger. You'll find more news at our website, radio.cz. But that's it for me for now.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's program, anti-corruption police raid the offices of the state Czech Invest Agency in Prague. We'll look at the idea behind the new ice hockey club HC Lev, and later on in the show, remember the man who discovered cosmic radiation. We'll end the show with a Czech lesson as usual, so do please stay with us. Anti-corruption police raided the offices of the State Czech Invest Agency in Prague on Wednesday, confiscating documents, laptops and computers. Although the police have placed an information embargo on the case, it has emerged that Czech Invest, set up by the Trade and Industry Ministry to promote Czech business interests, is suspected of manipulating a tender for prospecting industrial zones for foreign investors. Jaromír Pavlík has the story.
Czech Invest was brought to a standstill in the early hours of Wednesday as anti-corruption police searched the building from top to bottom, confiscating documents, laptops and computers. According to the information confirmed by the Trade and Industry Minister later, in the day the agency is suspected of manipulating a tender on managing the real estate database that serves potential investors in searching for industrial zones in the Czech Republic. The agency allegedly failed to place the tender on its webpage or on any other media outlets, quietly handing the 3.2 million crown contract to the firm of its choice, Graphen, a private company whose ownership remains unclear. The tender was, moreover, by all accounts, backdated. The manner of awarding the contract, which was later unexpectedly cancelled, was questioned not only by Transparency International, but by Trade and Industry Ministry, which sent auditors to look into the case. Their efforts to look into the matter were interrupted by Wednesday's police raid. Trade and Foreign Minister Martin Kuba told journalists on Wednesday he welcomed the police investigation and said heads would roll if the suspicions surrounding the case were confirmed.
I want the matter thoroughly investigated, and if it reveals any evidence of mismanagement or fraud, I will hold the General Director Miroslav Křížek fully accountable. He would be sacked, and I'm sure he is fully aware of the fact.
While the police remain tight-lipped on the case, the view of the ongoing investigation, Stanislav Beranek from Transparency International has revealed some of the agency's own findings.
When we investigate the case, we saw the chain of companies which finished in Panama, offshore company, and by Panama Trade Register, this company was owned and founded by some lawyer office. There is a suspicion that this company is personally connected with friends of Mr. Křížek, the director of Czech Invest.
While Czech Invest General Director has refused to comment on developments, the agency spokeswoman Veronika Forejtová on Thursday admitted that the police investigation did indeed concern the problematic tender. However, according to her, there was no case since the tender had in the meantime been cancelled.
Jaromír Pavlík with that report. Now, for 20 years, there has been only one route for world-class Czech ice hockey players, west. But since the creation of the Continental Hockey League in Russia 4 years ago, this once clear system is being ever more distorted. Increasing numbers of European and even American stars now decide to head east rather than go into the NHL. And it is not only players that seem to be flocking to the Eurasian League, but teams as well. Most recently, the first Czech club to join was HC Lev Praha. Tom McEncrow has the story.
The project is not only a risky financial undertaking, but physically it may prove challenging as well, with teams casually having to travel more than 1,000 miles to play their next game. On the other hand, the attractiveness of watching games between teams from the second best league in the world and its situation in the Czech capital gives HC Lev Praha a chance to become one of the most popular teams in Bohemia. I asked the club's manager, Norman Sejesz, what were the other reasons for funding a Czech KHL team?
Because from Czech coming many great players, and those players play around, everywhere around the world, and many players play in the KHL league, and why not build a new Czech team? The Czech players play at home for the Czech team.
The club has established its base in Prague's second largest stadium, the 13,000-seat Tipsport Arena in Holešovice, which it will share with its long-time occupiers, Sparta Prague. The team is still in its early stages, the players having had their first training just a couple of weeks ago. But already, HC Lev has beaten two Czech league clubs in friendlies and has managed to amass a cadre of considerable strength, featuring a number of former NHL players and KHL stars, along with 6 Czech national team players. I asked the judges about how Lev Praha planned to attract new fans.
not just the hockey. You must try make something for the people, some show around the hockey, because now it's hockey, not just like simple hockey. It's show around, looks like NHL.
Among the NHL expatriates, there is also a number of Canadian players. After the team's training, I questioned one of them, Paul Shehura, about what it's like to play in a completely new team.
It's going to take a little time to get used to everybody, but yeah, I mean, still trying to figure everything out, you know, getting used to players, you know, the locker room, everything like that, you know. It's going to take some time, but, you know, it's the professionals and, you know, we'll make it work.
The club will play in the Western Bobrov Division, the culturally most varied group in the KHL, which features teams from the Ukraine, Latvia, Slovakia, and, of course, Russia, playing its first game against Dinamo Riga on the 6th of September. It will certainly be interesting to see how the project develops and if other Czech teams will follow suit in the future. In any case, credit must be given to the brave gamble that Hatzalev's owners have decided to undertake.
That report was by Tom McEncrowe. A reminder that you're with Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, where it is now time to invite you to another edition of Panorama. And this time we take you way back in history.
Tři, dva, jedna, go!
In the early morning hours of Tuesday, a crowd gathered to watch the release of a hot air balloon over Prague's Libuše Meteorological Observatory in honour of the 100th anniversary of the discovery of cosmic rays by the young Austrian physicist Viktor Franz Hess. But more than anywhere else, the anniversary is being marked in the town of Ústí nad Labem, where Hess's successful balloon flight took place exactly a century ago. At the end of the 19th century, scientists discovered radioactivity and puzzled over the fact that the air in electroscopes, instruments for detecting electrical charges, became electrically charged no matter how well the containers were insulated. It was thought that radioactivity from ground minerals was responsible, and physicists conducted various experiments to prove this theory. The most persistent of them was the German Jesuit Theodor Wolff. Physicist Jiří Grigar of the Czech Academy of Sciences explains.
Theodor Wolff first descended into a series of underground caves, thinking that the closer he got to the core of the Earth, the stronger the radiation would be, and expected it to gradually diminish as he ascended. In fact, he climbed to the top of the Eiffel Tower to see it diminish, but the measurements failed to prove his theory. That inspired Hess to think along different lines, that the radiation could be coming from space, and he had the idea to go up in a balloon to prove it.
So did a few others, and between 1909 and 1912, several scientists made their own experimental flights in balloons, but none of them provided any substantiated evidence from where the radiation could be coming from. Viktor Franz Hess, a 29-year-old assistant at the University of Vienna, was not put off by their lack of success. Before making balloon ascents himself, he figured the height at which ground radiation would stop producing ionization, about 500 meters, and designed instruments that would not be damaged by temperature or pressure changes. 11 balloon flights proved unsuccessful, mainly because his coal gas-powered balloons could not ascend to a proper height. That led him to the town of Ústí nad Labem, which offered a solution to many of his problems. Martin Krsek from the Ústí nad Labem Museum explains.
At the time, Ústí nad Labem boasted the biggest chemical factory in the Austro-Hungarian Empire. It produced plenty of hydrogen, very clean hydrogen, which would take Hess much higher and moreover had experience in using it to power balloons. And even better, the town was home to the German Balloon Enthusiasts Association.
The association agreed to lend him their biggest balloon, called Böhmen, and Viktor Franz could set the date, August 7th, 1912. Thanks to auspicious weather conditions, his balloon was able to take off shortly after 7 a.m. that morning. The flight gave the young scientist the evidence he craved, but it was by no means easy. Martin Krsek again.
The
instruments that has used to measure the radiation were, of course, very primitive. It meant watching them and taking notes all the time. As the balloon ascended, he felt weak and had to inhale oxygen. Originally, he has planned to reach a height of 6 kilometers, but when he reached just over 5,000 meters, he feared he would pass out and started descending, registering the radiation both on the way up and down, which was important for his discovery. He finally had proved that the radiation detected on Earth came from space.
Although the discovery won him the Nobel Prize in Physics in 1936, a prize he shared with Professor Carl Anderson from California, who had discovered the positron, it got surprisingly little attention at the time. The local media barely mentioned it. However, the monarchy was generous in its support for scientists and gave Victor Franz Hess his first grant.
He really asked for grant money on his return from what we would now call the Academy of Sciences, and he was not turned away. His scientific experiments were quite costly. The single balloon trip in Ústí amounted to 540 Austrian crowns, which was a tenth of a balloon's purchasing price.
In 1920, Hess became an associate professor of experimental physics at the University of Graz, and a year later, he took a leave of absence to make his first trip to the United States, where he became chief physicist and director of a research laboratory built under his supervision. Hess returned to the University of Graz in 1923, where he was made a full professor. In 1931, the now widely respected physicist accepted a position as Professor of Experimental Physics and Head of the Institute for Radiation Research at the University of Innsbruck. With the support of the Rockefeller Institute, the Austrian Academy of Sciences and the Society for German Sciences, Hess founded in the autumn of 1931 a station for the observation of cosmic radiation on Haferlekar Mountain near Innsbruck at a height of 2,300 meters. In 1937, Professor Hess returned to the University of Graz, but his days in Europe were numbered. 2 months after the Anschluss in March of 1938, he was dismissed from his post because he had a Jewish wife. After receiving warning of impending arrest, the Hesses fled Austria to Switzerland and eventually the United States, where he was offered a full professorship at Fordham University in New York. In 1944, Victor Franz Hess was granted American citizenship. His research in later years included investigating the possibility of producing rain artificially and determining the effects of atomic bomb tests in terms of radioactive fallout. Although Professor Hess's link to Ústí nad Labem, much less the Czech Republic, is tenuous, his legacy has not passed unnoticed. The anniversary of his discovery of cosmic radiation has inspired an exhibition on his research and other scientific discoveries the town contributed to. And in true fashion, Czechs are toasting the discovery of cosmic radiation with a special brand of beer called Cosmic, produced by a small local brewer. Martin Krsek explains how the idea emerged.
We wanted a beer special to mark the occasion, and we asked a small brewery in Narychtě to cooperate with us. The Cosmic label was pretty obvious, but we wanted a stronger connection to the discovery, so we suggested they add radioactive water to the brew. The chief brewer was not impressed, arguing that it would put people off drinking it and kill the whole project, so that was that. But we really wanted this cosmic beer to radiate, so we selected a small piece of uranium from the local museum and walked around the brewery with it while the beer was being brewed, just to complete the symbolism, so to speak.
Právě to pivo vařilo, takže jsme tak symbolicky předali vlastně to záření.
The Cosmic Brew can be sampled at an exhibition devoted to Professor Hesse's work in Usti, where visitors can view old photographs, faded newspaper clippings reporting on his discoveries, and instruments used by scientists in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. Martin Krsek says the exhibition reflects not just the mood of the times, but provides a lot of insight into the personality of Viktor Franz Hess.
He was typical of the breed of scientist that emerged in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, a man who thirsted for discoveries and for whom no risk was too great to take in the process. This scientist was certainly no bookworm closeted in an ivory tower. He made many personal sacrifices on the road.
That was Panorama on the life and work of Viktor Hess, the Austrian scientist who discovered cosmic radiation. And now in the time left to us, we're offering you another part in Pavla Horáková's popular language series, The ABCs of Czech. Hello and welcome to Czech by Numbers, Radio Prague's own Czech learning program in which we examine the use of numbers in everyday Czech. Today I'm joined by
Linda Maštalíř
and we'll be looking once again at the very word number.
Číslo.
Apart from its mathematical meaning,
číslo
can also mean a number, a piece, for example, in a cabaret, or an issue of a magazine, as in
lednové číslo,
the January issue. If you hear a person, mostly a child, being called
číslo,
you can be sure he or she is quite a character or a naughty little kid. Then we have the grammatical number,
gramatické číslo,
which in Czech includes
množné číslo,
the plural,
jednotné číslo,
singular, and relics of
dvojné číslo,
the dual number. In maths, apart from natural and all those other numbers we discussed earlier, I'm sure we all heard about Ludolf's number.
Ludolfovo číslo,
more commonly known as pi.
Pi.
In physics, there is
Machovo číslo,
or Mach number, which is defined as a ratio of the speed of an object relative to the speed of sound. Drivers will be familiar with
oktanové číslo,
the octane rating, which is a measure of the auto-ignition resistance of fuels used in a spark ignition internal combustion engines. In the Czech Republic, you will often come across the term
rodné číslo,
literally birth number, which is a 10-digit personal identification number assigned to every individual at birth. From the first 6 digits, you can tell the person's birthday and sex. The other 3 define where he or she was born, and the last one completes the sequence in a way which makes the whole number dividable by 11 to make it valid. Another identification number of an individual is
číslo občanského průkazu,
your ID card number, which you are often asked to submit in official dealings or upon entering various institutions. If you don't have a Czech ID card, your passport number,
číslo pasu,
will do just fine. And finally, another important number is
číslo účtu,
your account number. And that's it for today. We'll be back with more numbers next time. Till then,
naschledanou.
That was Pavla Horáková with another Czech lesson, and I'm afraid it's brought us to the end of today's program. You'll find us at radio.cz. Should you like to contact us, then our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you as always. This is Daniela Lazarová saying thanks for listening and take care.